What's going on here? Former Patriot, Super Bowl 51 champ, Geno Grissom here. You're listening to Boston's Big Three presented by Ride the Wave Media.
Welcome back to Boston's Big Three presented by Ride the Wave Media, episode 85, wrapping up 2020 with a bang. Probably got one more episode in us before this year is all said and done, before we kick it to the curb and say good riddance. But we've got a lot to talk about because we haven't been together in a few days, a few weeks now.
It's like Boston's Big Two now.
Yeah.
Like Boston, it's just the Boston's Big Two.
MIA. You need a milk carton with their faces on it. We could do that. I could throw something together like that.
Stafford, you know, came in as an intern and then like got on the show as a regular. And then he got into the big leagues and said, screw you guys, I'm going to go focus somewhere else. I got my own show, which he's been completely consistent on all year. Yeah. And then Tyler just comes and goes. He got a new laptop, though. So he should be able – he's getting to the big leagues now, too. But
Tyler will be back then, with a force.
And then just like between like my schedule going all over the place with the babies and just our world we live in right now too. Just fucking, it's crazy, but we're 2021. We got to look forward to it.
2021 is going to be fun.
We got to bring it back.
Right. Because 2020, I'm sure you're sick of hearing it at this point. I'm sick of hearing it at this point. Oh, it's been a tough year. It's been a hard year. Things just aren't the same. We're all going through crap. We're all in the same boat, something like that. But 2021 is going to be fun. It's like looking at a stock, seeing it go up and down. Stock went down. Stock's coming back up for 2021. But big things coming. Tyler's coming back with a new computer. Joe will be back soon. Big things coming from Stafford and Matthews getting their own program going on Apple Podcasts and Spotify soon. So they're going to be officially a separate entity soon. But still part of the BB3 family. Got big things. So the last few weeks that we've missed, the Patriots lost again to the Dolphins. Pretty tough to watch the Patriots the last 2 weeks. I don't even know if we've talked about the Rams game earlier either. Just the fact that the Patriots haven't scored a touchdown since I was 21 years old.
happy birthday. It's tough. I think we did talk about that Rams game. I think we did have an episode before this. In terms of the Dolphins game, the thing that I just don't get, Brendan, and we're going to go back and forth. This is perfect because you're still Cam Newton supporter, correct?
Oh yeah. Cam, you got to support the guy. You got to support the guy that's leading the team.
This is going to be a beautiful conversation for both of us. Cause I'm the anti Cam.
You
guy,
over him?
All right. Like, and it's going to go both ways. In Watabi, I'm getting sick and tired of people making every single excuse out of the book for Cam Newton. And when it comes to the Miami game, the excuses that I'm hearing afterwards were the defense wasn't there. The defense gave it up. And the defense got gashed. I get it. They got gashed. They are the sixth worst defense when it comes to rushing. And I believe the stat was they were giving up 133 rush yards a game. All right. Yeah. They're the sixth worst in the league, but guess what? They're the seventh best in the league for points per game. So if you're giving up about 20 points per game, which they're giving up 21.5, that's not that bad. They're seventh best in the league, which means your offense just isn't scoring. Like that's right. Where it comes down to. And it was 6-0 at halftime. So your defense shut it down in the first half. So,
and I know you like throwing this stat out there. When was the last time Cam Newton threw a touchdown?
The last time Cam Newton threw a touchdown, Stidham threw a touchdown more recently than Cam Newton. The last time that he threw a touchdown was the Chargers game. I forget.
That's the last touchdown in general.
It's just a long, long time ago. And even in that Cam Newton game against the Chargers, I'm sorry, but he wasn't that great either. It was because guess what? Marcus Mariota looked great against the Chargers. Yeah. He came in for Derek Carr last week and he looked great. So anybody looks good against the Chargers. And that I just, here's the thing. Another thing too, Brendan, I just was talking about this right before we got on here. Does anyone talking about it to you? So today, as we're filming it, it's Saturday. The Bucks played today. Tom Brady throws for 4 touchdowns today in the first half. And Cam Newton only has 5 rushing, 5 passing touchdowns, right? This whole entire season. And what I like to do is I like to stir the pot, obviously. I like to go on there.
The brand.
It's not racist. It's not slander. When you say the word slander, you're slandering Cam. Slander means false information. I am not giving out false information. Is it false information to say that Cam Newton fumbled in Buffalo? It's not false. It happened. Is it false information say Cam Newton only has 5 passing touchdowns?
You're saying he fumbled, it's not false information. So racist. That's so problematic. You're only saying that because he's a black quarterback.
And yet I support other black players. It has nothing to do with race. I'm a Sony Michel defender. I defend that guy because I think he's good. And it just, it makes whatever. My thing, Brandon, for this conversation is, he has 5 passing touchdowns. That is like 30. I just looked it up as I was coming here and driving. It's about 37th in the league for passing touchdowns. It's bad, right?
There's probably backups that have more than that. Like, I would assume, like, I wouldn't say like Tua Tagovailoa is like a backup anymore. But
I think Joe Burrow might have more.
Joe Burrow might have him beat, honestly, too. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
But with Tobby, the thing is, and I get this all the time, well, Cam Newton's got 11 rushing touchdowns. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. He's got 16 total touchdowns in the season. That's not fucking good. That's still not good. And even if you combine those, but Brendan, if you combine those together and 16 touchdowns and say they're all passing touchdowns, you're still 20th in the league for quarterbacks. You're not even in the middle. You're still below average.
Defense and special teams have more than Cam Newton?
They might. It's just crazy to think that if you want to throw that rushing touchdown stat, cool, go throw it at me. He's still 20th in the league right now. He's not catching up to anybody else. And then someone else, Brendan, before I let you talk, someone's like, well, Pat Mahomes does rushing touchdowns. Pat Mahomes has 6 rushing touchdowns in his entire career. He has 2 this year. He doesn't run in for the ball like Cam Newton does. So it's just the excuses, Brendan. I'm getting sick and tired of the excuses. And when are people just going to open their eyes a little bit more? Just say, like, maybe Cam doesn't have it. Maybe Cam doesn't have it. Maybe he doesn't have it. And listen, you know, it's Matt Stafford, Carson Wentz, Phillip Rivers, you know, whatever, Dak Prescott. You can start naming these quarterbacks. If Belichick wants to play the Band-Aid quarterback, I'd still keep Cam Newton. Because you know what? Cam Newton's been here for a year, or he's been here for a season in the system. I would stick with him personally. So it's not me being hypocritical. It's just that Cam Newton's not your guy. And I don't trust anybody coming in here for 2 years to pick up the pace and do it unless your name is Aaron Rodgers or like Pat Mahomes or something like that. You have to be an elite quarterback or Tom Brady somehow comes back. But I don't want, if you're going to do a Band-Aid quarterback, just stick it out with Cam Newton. I will give Bill that credit if he wants to go that route and still develop Stidham and still develop another quarterback. If that's what you really want to go for, I'll run with that pain and I will go with it. But I'm just telling everybody, Cam Newton's not going to be winning you football games to get you into the playoffs.
Right. Here's my thing. So I'm one of those fans who has probably seen the Patriots. I've only seen the Patriots miss the playoff once. It was 2008. And now this year is the second time I've ever seen the Patriots miss the playoffs. So this whole situation is unique to me. I feel like it's unique for a lot of Patriots fans right now, because they've gained a lot of fans the last 10 years when all they've known is winning.
Well, with Tobby, like they missed it in 2002, and I was probably only like 11 or 12 years old. So like even for someone like me at nearly 30 years old, I know we have like a little age difference, but that still didn't matter to me as a kid. Like your mind doesn't process it like the way we do now. Exactly. So like pretty much our whole entire quote unquote, you know, teenager to adulthood is always known as winning.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a weird situation where you want to be a fan of the team. Like I'm one of those guys, I'm going down with the ship. I feel like you might be too. Would you say that?
Yeah. I mean, the fact is they got 6 wins this year. They're a team that should probably
so
only
far,
have 3
so
or 4.
So far.
I mean, they could still finish 8
they
and 8.
Them
like,
out,
they
yeah.
still. They can still finish 7-9. Like it's not, finishing 7-9 is not terrible. It's really not.
It's not respectable, but I mean, it could be respectable. Looking at some of the wins, I mean, like you beat teams that you weren't supposed to beat and then lost to the teams that you were probably were supposed to win. Like, you, like, the, they beat the Ravens. They beat the Cardinals. I feel like you're not supposed to win those games. But you,
they shouldn't have beat the Cardinals, though.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. You just look at some of these games are just giveaways.
But they still held themselves close with Kansas City. Right. They still held themselves close with Seattle. They held themselves close with Buffalo in that first game. So that Denver game could have been that was a toss up as well too. So it's not like they, it's not like they're getting blown out every single week. It's not like they're playing like the Rams game. They got blown out, right? It's not like they played like that the entire season.
Right. So because you now you got to look at the numbers and say, what is Cam Newton capable of doing? I think we have seen what his peak is. I think a lot of people were just kind of expecting like a breakout performance. I think either the Seattle game or the Houston game this year were those breakout performances for Cam. And that's as much as you're going to get out of him. Like, you can't ask for more than what he's going to give you consistently. I think what his average is maybe 170 something in that range yards per game. And maybe probably average a little less than a touchdown. And it's probably on the ground because we've already talked about the touchdown situation, but I think you got to look at what the peak from Cam Newton is going to be and versus what the peak of Jarrett Stidham is going to be, which the problem is we haven't seen a full game from Stidham yet. Whereas you have seen what, probably 10 full games from Cam Newton so far, that he's actually starting the very first snap and finishing the game out to the final kneel down or final play, whatever it may be. So you got to look at what the ceiling is going to be. And I think I would be sort of swayed at this point with you, even though I haven't seen Stidham. I think he's probably got a ceiling that's higher than 180 yards per game. So you gotta take a look at him now and see what you have in store for the future, if that's the guy that you want to go forward with. Because we have seen the peak Cam Newton. Even look at Cam's peak numbers. What, 370, 360 yards against Seattle? Can Jarrett Stidham do that just once? If he could do that once in a 16-game season, he's the guy.
Can Jarrett Stidham, and again, this is where people will say, well, Cam rushed the ball. Like, you know, he's had multiple games where he's had multiple rushing touchdowns.
Right.
Can Stidham just throw two touchdowns a game? Can he have a multiple touchdown game? And I think Stidham can. I look at Cam Newton and I say, you see his peak, his throwing mechanics off. If you want to make any excuses for him, it's not COVID. It's not, you know, oh, he doesn't have wide receivers and they don't get separation. Oh, his O-line. The O-line's actually pretty good this year. I was trying to look up the O-line stats and I couldn't find it, but I know they're top 10 in the year. But Cam's throwing mechanics are not going to get fixed within the next 200 days.
Right.
And I say 200 days because that's when training camp comes back. And, like, it's just not going to magically get better. And Cam had a full year going into this season healthy wise, like, you know, he's healthy.
Yeah.
He looks great. He's in shape. I want to get on Cam's case because he did all these hype videos. We believed in it and you wanted to buy into it. And you could say, well, the Pats playbook isn't the same way and it's hard to learn the system. And there's certain ways you can make excuses and there's certain ways you can't. He's a professional athlete, a former MVP. I don't give a shit. You should be able to come in here and do something a little bit better than what you showed us. And it's a disappointing season. Can Cam bounce back? I believe in Cam still, just not with the Patriots. I want to move forward. And I'd rather have Bill just be outspoken and say, I just want him to be outspoken and say, we're sticking with Cam next year. We're developing this kid and just give you kind of a light at the end of the tunnel that you know where we're going to go instead of just being us in the dark like I am right now.
And now looking back at the beginning of the season, I think one of the big things for Patriots fans, I know myself, I think this is definitely speaks for me, is the fact that we had a new quarterback for the first time in 20 years. I think there was a lot of excitement that might have been clouded. It might have been disguised as just curiosity. I think everyone was just kind of curious to see what Josh could do with a new quarterback that we don't know if he was going to be in MVP form. And he obviously has not been, but just being curious as to what that offense could be capable of. There's definitely a difference between excitement and curiosity. I think the excitement was pretend. I think Pats fans just didn't know what to channel that emotion. It was all curiosity at a certain point.
It's one of those things that we're going to have to just wait until a couple seasons go down the line to look back on things. It's just, it's all in retrospect because we don't know, only Bill knows. And even Bill might not know what the hell's going on either. Right. He's just rolling with them. He's riding the wave.
Right.
But when I look at, say, Stidham, So say if Stidham was going to be the next guy, he started week one. Those are the biggest shoes you're going to fill.
Right.
And you are not going to compare yourself to Brady at right. all. Just the way we're doing
just,
it right
just
now.
Just the emotional factor, just like the headspace that would take up.
But just right now, we'll compare Cam Newton to Brady. And exactly. everyone's always going to compare to Brady. But now say if Stidham starts next year.
It makes it easier.
It makes it a little bit easier. Like, well, Brady's gone. He's been out for a year now. Right. Like, we already went through it. But this kid looks a little bit better than Cam Newton actually exactly. last year.
See, that's and what you got to scale it as. You can't keep going back to Tom Brady. No one's ever going to be Tom Brady again.
Yeah, so I think that if you went through that bad year with Cam Newton and say, this is the stats, this is the wins, right. can Stidham at least replicate that at his young age and be a better, slightly better, then you're like, okay, we got some progress. And I think that just changes the media and the fan base's mind going forward, even though Bill doesn't care about anybody.
Do you think that's part of the decision-making process right now?
I think that's the theory. I mean, there's any theory you want to throw out there is something good. It's that Stidham, that's a lot of pressure to go into this new season and be like, here you go, kid. Like, Brady just ended his career. It's time for you. He's, in a way, protecting Stidham. Somehow.
I would be so scared if that were me. Like, the fact that, like, you're replacing that guy. Like, not just any guy. He's, like, the greatest. Everyone across the world knows who that
is. Does he want Stidham to go through a full season? And I would go with the growing pains. Right. Like, even if they went 4-12, like, that's fine. I want to grow with him. But can he handle that media pressure every single week of, like, Brady's doing this, kid,
over and
but
over.
Brady's doing that, Brady's doing this. Once that one season goes away with Brady and Tampa, and they're hot right now, they're getting real hot. And once that one season goes, I think fans are going to accept it. Everyone's kind of moving on. All right. It's a little bit in the past and maybe it's a little bit more relaxed. So, I mean, again, there's these small decisions. Like, again, we both are in agreement. We want to see what Stidham has. Yeah. We just want
it's
to
the same
see
curiosity.
It.
We're not excited. We're curious. We want to know.
Does Bill want to expose Stidham to his division rivals? Right. Does he want to expose Stidham to injury, like, and get hurt in these final two games? Because if he gets hurt and he goes down with an ACL, now he's not coming back next year. He's not coming back next year. Now you're really screwed. So it's one of those spots where fans don't realize that, you know, fans like think they're the GMs and the coach, just like we do, but they're like, well, you know, Bill sees Stidham in practice and doesn't start him. So that's definitely enough. It's like, dude, like you can progress. I think Stidham progressed this year in small doses. He came in. Yeah. He threw a couple pick sixes. Yeah. Cool. But he came in through a couple touchdowns as well too. He had a couple plays in his mop up duty, like say against the Chargers, he threw a touchdown. Like he needed to do that. Like it's not like he went in there, threw an interception.
Now we have to look. I'm curious. I'm sure you might be curious about this. Has Stidham thrown more touchdowns than Cam Newton if you add the pick sixes? it might be close.
I think he threw three interceptions. I think he threw two pick sixes this year. Or I think he threw one pick six.
He threw that,
like
he threw
four,
that one
four interceptions.
Has he thrown any other touchdowns other than the Gunner one?
Yeah, he threw one to N'Keal Harry against Kansas City.
Okay.
And yeah, then, he's got two touchdowns in the season.
So we got three guys. I don't think Brian Hoyer's thrown a touchdown, right?
No, and Jacoby Myers is the only other
got
one.
All right, so we got three on the roster.
Rex Burkhead had three receiving touchdowns this year.
That's big. Will he be back next year? Is he free agent?
I say he's somebody. So they just had the list out.
Okay.
Some big names that you have to sign. Like, let's just say for starters, like Joe Tooney and David Andrews, both free agents. Like you want to sign both of them. You want to keep this O-line intact. Then number two is you have Rex Burkhead, which I think they should sign. I think they, because of his injury, I think he's like worth at least picking up on a cheap deal. And Rex isn't going to get a contract, I don't think, somewhere else. James White's another guy that I would sign just to keep him as a veteran leader. But will James White secure his bag somewhere else? I think he's worth throwing money at if you're like a team like the Giants did it with what's his face? Shane Vereen, like they did it with Shane Vereen. They threw money at him.
Like
the Deion Lewis got money through the Titans, like just stuff like that. You know, there's a whole slew of players that you have to sign this offseason. And I mean, it's going to be pretty interesting to see who they end up keeping, who they don't keep. I look at the upcoming draft, Brendan, and I just think that Stidham's staying. Like, it's not like Stidham's going to get cut. Like, he's here for 4 years. If he is the start, he's still a backup next year. So I look at are you going to go for Matt Stafford? If you draft a quarterback, they're not starting this year. Like, no. I don't care who you get unless they got Trevor Lawrence. That's the only guy that will start, but it's not happening. So if you get Matt Stafford, if you get a Sam Darnold, a Dak Prescott, the move has to happen right away. Like, and I look at Cam Newton, and if you're going to extend Cam Newton, it's got to happen in January. Like, but I look at Cam Newton. I personally think Cam Newton can get a contract somewhere else for more money. I really think he's worth something. I personally don't want Bill to give him a $10 million contract to make up for this year and be like, here you go, here's money. And be like, we could have used that money somewhere else, especially we have to sign all these other guys. And I think that Bill might want to wait till free agency opens up. And I'm sure Cam does too. But that March, like in March coming up, you're going to know what's going to happen this season.
Right.
You're going to know right away what the direction is going into. And if, I mean, you can't do what you just did last year and wait till June to pick up somebody. Like they have to get this settled in early on. So it's going to be interesting. And keep an eye out too for Josh McDaniels. I think he's gone. I think he takes a head coaching job somewhere. And these head coaching jobs go right in January, right before the Super Bowl.
They go quick.
So if he's going to get offers. And I just think that, again, a lot of things have to, it's a very important, this is like the most important offseason for the Patriots. Cause it's going to set up your future. Like, this is it. Like, you had your 1 year, you fucked around. The cap space wasn't there. It's your transition year from Brady. You get this 1 year off. You're allowed 1 year off from the 20 years of dominance. But it's every move that you make this offseason needs to be a home run. It has to be. Like, you have to hit this right. Like, okay, McDaniels leaves. Who's replacing him? There's been rumors about Bill O'Brien coming back and Bill O'Brien becoming the offensive coordinator. I wouldn't mind that. Jed Fish just left as a quarterback's coach. I've been preaching. Brian Hoyer. Easily slide him into the quarterback's coach position because he's going to probably retire.
Yeah. What's Gerard Mayo up to these days?
Yeah, it's just like you can have, maybe Hightower. Like, what's his situation going to be? Are some of these players retiring? You need to start figuring this shit out as early on as possible. So,
right.
I hope that they have the quarterback situation at least figured out heading into the NFL draft and better than what they did last year. Right. And if you're going into that NFL draft and you don't have another quarterback signed on that team other than Jared Stidham, that means they're going with Stidham. Like, it's like, they're not going to fuck around again with this. Well, we'll take Stidham. We won't draft anybody. We'll pick up a couple free agents. We'll see what happens.
And the thing about the Cam Newton free agency is it's not going to be a splash. It's not going to be a LeBron making a decision. It's going to be Cam Newton's available. And all right. It's going to be like that, like the video you posted from the, with Odell Beckham sitting around the table. Like, Odell Beckham, Cam Newton, pass. I feel like that's going to be a lot of teams.
Again, and it all depended on, and I mean, if I'm Cam Newton, this guy might hold out. Like, he might say, like, I think Bill's going to make him an offer and say, here's $4 million. Here's $5 million. For 2 years, $10 million tops. It's like, that's what we're going to offer you. But Bill's going to say, I want a decision soon. Like, I want a decision by the end of the week.
Or and Cam's going to be like,
I'm pulling it. And Cam's going to be no. Cam's going to want to wait till free agency. Cam might want to wait till after the draft. He might want to see how Jacksonville shakes it out. He might want to see how this team shakes it out, that team shakes it out. And I still think that Cam, I think Arizona should take Cam Newton. I think he can go down there for $10 million a year because that's veteran. It's a veteran presence down there.
You have him as a backup?
Kyler Murray out. But does Cam Newton want to accept the backup position? It's just these little things that have to fall into place. And I just think that Bill, You can't wait. You can't wait. And if people want to make that excuse that, well, Cam Newton didn't come too late into the season. All right, I'll give you that one. That's cool. They should have got this figured out back in March. Like, get this done right away so the guys can get the playbook so they can start practicing and they can get ready to go. I know that COVID like fucked everything up and you really couldn't do anything and they're just doing Zoom meetings. But I don't know. I feel like these last two games, like what is Cam Newton playing for? Is he playing for a contract for next year? Is he being showcased on Monday Night Football? Is this his last starting game on a nationally televised game on ESPN? Like, what's the point? Are you trying to make sure that you're getting his 90% incentives and making sure he gets every last penny of that incentive contract? Bill's just must be fucking loyal. He must be super loyal to Cam to be like, I'm riding with you, dog. I'm with you to the very end. Hey, I don't care.
If Bill can stick with Tom Brady for 20 years, I'm sure he can stick with Cam Newton for an entire season.
I mean, in terms of, like, they say this on the radio about him losing the locker room. I mean, Bill could use this season as a way to say, you know what? I stuck with my guns. Was it the right decision? Yes and no, but I didn't leave my decision. I stuck with the guy because I believed in him, and I believed him all the way through, and that's just how Bill is as a coach. And that's why I said, Brendan,
Super Bowl 52.
And that's why I say, Brendan, that someone like Cam Newton is forever going to be grateful to Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft and the Pats organization, even if they split. There's no bad blood between both of them. There's no bad blood with the fan base that support him. They're still going to support him. They're still going to go from Carolina to Massachusetts to wherever he goes. And whoever he picked up along the way is still going to follow his journey, because Cam never did anything bad this season to piss anybody off except his playability, just his playability.
Yeah.
And you
can't be upset about it. You can't be upset about that. Like, yeah, you can be disappointed that he's not performing to your expectations, but then again, he's also not meeting his own expectations. That's like showing his leadership. And I think the Patriots players have been very adamant about him showing that and just displaying that this we love this guy. Like, this guy is a leader. He is vocal. He is going to try to do his best to take us to a W each and every week. And I think the players are just trying to reciprocate that to the fans. And I don't think it's worked at all this year.
I mean, I don't hate Cam Newton as the individual. Right. I just know you're not our answer. I'm sorry. Right. It's like, should that offend you? No, like, just play better then. Just change my mind. Like, do it on the field.
Totally.
Like, I want to openly support you. Like, I have your fucking picture that Brendan made. Hope. Love, like, we want to promote that shit. We want to support you. But I'm gonna, this year I've been more realistic about the team. I've been more open about things, which isn't good, because I'm not that biased person anymore. Now we're post Tom Brady, the goggles are off. Let's look at the team, like, what for what it is. Cam Newton, you're not a good quarterback this year. Like, you are not a good quarterback, and I'll keep giving you the benefit of the doubt. Like, I'll keep doing that for you. But people are saying your time is up. And if you move on, and I've been harping on it for the last, you know, weeks and weeks that you're not the guy, does that mean I'm going to go bash you wherever you go in the future? No. If I think, and personally, I said this, I think he's worth money somewhere else. I think a team should sign him. I'd be happy to be like, the Patriots picked him up. They took him on a cheap contract. Didn't work out, but that guy got a job somewhere else.
They helped him out. That's just another step along the way. Yeah. So we've got Monday Night Football tomorrow night. Bills, Patriots, and apparently, according to ESPN, the Patriots just aren't playing this game. The Bills are just going to show up and score 40-something on the Patriots. What are your thoughts going into Monday Night Football tomorrow?
It's a huge game for Buffalo, because they're trying to keep that two seed. Like, it's they have to be on all cylinders going forward into this game Monday night. They have a chance to lock up the two seed, which is crazy because it's not even a bye week. But still, in terms of positioning for playoffs, like, you want to be the two seed. You know, it sucks because there's no fans there. And I think that even if there were fans there and they had the same record, Buffalo fans would be swarming that stadium, and it would have been just an awesome atmosphere to be in.
You've already seen that billboard.
I know. So I'm like, it's bulletin board material right there. Like, you still have a sense of pride, and that's what you're playing for. This is a great way for the Patriots that if they're going to pull out their tricks and stuff like that and their trick book, do it in this game. It's nationally televised. I'm holding out hope, because fuck it, if they can finish 8-8, it's not a losing season.
It's not
a winning season, but it's not a losing season. So you can, because you know they're gonna beat the Jets, and it's just you know they will beat the Jets. You know that's gonna happen. You know that they're gonna tank that game still.
You never know if Jacksonville finds a way to win on Sunday tomorrow. You never know.
You never know. But I look at this game as it's going to be tough to watch. It's like, it's almost a pride game. You got to hope, you got to pray. You got to say, go out there, give it your best shot. Yeah. A lot of the guys are still playing. They're playing for both pride, but they're playing for contracts. A lot of guys are still playing for contracts. Don't forget that. So when you look at it that way, Cam Newton, this is your last shot on nationally television. It's also fantasy football championship week. I don't know if anybody has any players in those games for the last game. So I just look at it like, Cam, this is your last shot to probably tell anybody to go fuck themselves. Even if you just ball out and have a good game. If Cam could have a 3-touchdown game, and I'm talking about 3 passes, I want to see him throw the ball. If he gets
3 touchdowns anywhere, that's more than the last 2 weeks.
But you want to see that out of him, and you want to see that fight. And I mean, if he can show fight against the Buffalo Bills, it's like for Patriots fans to be like, well, you know what? Buffalo was trying this game. It's not like they're not taking their foot off the gas pedal. And you beat the AFC East champions, and you know you could have beat them earlier this year. You beat a playoff team, a top playoff team. That should give fans some hope going into next year. Like, all right, this Pats team didn't really lay down this year. They didn't lay down totally. Did they struggle some games? Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Their game, but it's a team that fought to the very end, and that's what you want to see. You want to see them fight to the very end.
Like we said, going down with the ship. So
I personally hope Cam Newton doesn't do good. Like, I don't want him because I don't want to go into this. Because if he does good, then we're going to be dealing with should Cam Newton stay. And it's just like, I want it contract. Done.
Right.
I don't want him to be embarrassed, but I do. It's terrible. I'm a terrible guy.
I'm pretty sure they've announced Cam Newton starting tomorrow. Well, we don't know if he's going to finish it. I'm pretty sure he's only finished half the games this season anyways. But week 17 against the Jets, who is starting quarterback for the Patriots?
I still say it's Cam. Because both with the incentive, I just think with the incentive, I think Cam starts, and then they just see how the score goes, and then maybe at halftime, that's when you make the switch to Stidham, give him the second half of the game. I think Stidham truly earned the starting job, yes and no, but like, I just think that. If it's week 17, I think Edelman might finally play his last game, and who knows if it's his last game as a Patriot.
Yeah, that could be heartbreaking.
I'm sure Edelman probably wants Cam to be out there. Like, I'm sure that he wants to have that connection with him. Right. And I think it would be good for Belichick to just throw Stidham in the second half. The Jets at that point won't even be trying. It's just a walkthrough type of game. Hopefully,
might feel like the preseason during a week 17 game, because like, neither of us are going to the playoffs, so.
Yeah, so it's like, say like a Damian Harris, like, shut that guy down for the rest of the year. Like, what's the point of having good in him? Hurt?
You want to talk about hope, talk about Damian Harris right now.
I mean, Sony Michel needs to play because, you've been out most of the season. We got to see, we got to get, film on you. Myers and Harry, they have to play. Like, we have to get more film on you. So, I mean, it'd be crazy to see Stidham not play week 17 just at least at halftime. And that's no offense to Cam. If Cam has like a good game, I still think you should pull him for the last half and just, hey, we want to get Stidham in there and get him a couple reps to end the season. Like, that's how it should be. But I mean, I could see Bill just staying with Cam the entire way and saying, you're taking this, especially if they win tomorrow and they're trying to go 8-8. Like, he's trying to give Cam the win. Like, he wants to make sure that he gets the win. So I don't know. I think he sticks with them.
All right. Any final thoughts on the New England Patriots?
It's been a bad year, dude. Yeah. So, like, just
understatement.
The team sucks. The organization sucks. They held me down. I didn't even get fan of the year. Like, so I know we're going to save it for later, but
shame on you, New England Patriots.
I lost. Listen, I get it. I say this. I'm very open about it. My content might not be suitable for the Patriots sometimes. A lot of fans don't like me. I think a lot of it's just jealousy. Some of it, people. You know, people can't respect other people's opinions. That's all it is everyone's opinion.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
that's what we're here for. And it's like, but if my opinion, if you don't have my opinion, Brendan, you're a clown. Like, that's just how social media works.
If you don't agree with me, you're wrong.
That's how it is. I mean, I do that to Tyler Miller because I just like doing it to Tyler Miller. But it's just how it is. The fan of the year didn't work out. So I lost to two guys that have been season ticket members for 50 years, like, and the grand prize is season tickets. So they want to play the safe route. It's just, I'm disappointed. I'm more disappointed. And then I found out I had a gig lined up with ESPN and my name was on the sheet and the Patriots saw it and they said, nope, we don't want this kid here. Like, we do not want this guy here. We don't think that he's going to be suitable for working the game. I'm like on the terrorist watch list when it comes to New England Patriots.
No fly list.
And here's the thing that's crazy, Brendan, is we post stuff. I'm not stupid. I've been saying this for years. Like, everyone sees what you post. Yeah. The players are seeing what you post. The organization sees what you post. People around the league are seeing what you post. It's out there. Even if they're not clicking it, they're not liking it. they're still seeing it. They're seeing it. So, and I've come to the point where it's like, I'm not here to suck that organization's dick. Like, I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm not hired by them. They're not paying me to do anything. I'm going to be open and honest. And I just want to fucking go back to games, dude. I want to go to tailgates. I just want to have a couple beers with the fans. What I miss this season, Brendan, is just being able to go out, go on my story. Hey guys, it's game day. I'm going to show you my game day experience. That's right. What I built my account on is showing the game day experience, showing what it's like. We're going to be at Tailgater 2000, just talking with fans in general in person. And that's why I got to build a lot of relationships.
It's all about the community.
And people who can come up to me like, I fucking hate you. And then we talk and they're like, oh, you're not a bad guy. That's what I miss.
You just got some wild takes sometimes.
I do. I miss going to fucking New York and going to the Jets game with Ramon. Like, I want to go to Buffalo again. That was a killer trip last year. There's a lot of things going on. And now Justin Zolot's going to be possibly running the Patriots tailgate group that does things for all the away games. So I got my hands mixed in with that. I miss that. And this year sucks so much because there was hope around the team. Bennett, just that whole month of the end of September into October, that October month was so bad when you lost four games in a row. And just like, it felt like the longest time.
Yeah.
And, it's just then your content suffers.
And football season feels like it usually goes so quick. And this season has been
pretty long. It has been. It's such a drag. That's so true.
It's like the 2019 Red Sox coming off the championship. The season just went on and on.
We know the season is ending in 2 weeks, but it's almost like I just want it to end now. Yeah. Just pull the trigger.
We're dragging ourselves closer to the finish line where we never have to talk about the 2020-21 Patriots ever again.
I know. And I can't wait. And then we'll have some good off-season talks about what we're looking for about the future. Right. And I think the good thing about this year is you're at least paying attention more to positions. And you're paying attention to every position across the board. Offensive line, wide receivers, defensive line, linebackers, cornerbacks, everything, even kicking game, even look at Bill. He's bringing Roberto Aguayo. He's starting to look at the kicking
game. What's going on there? Why did the Patriots got three kickers on the roster right now?
Well, Justin Rohauser was picked in the fifth round, and then they found out he's a former neo-Nazi or whatever.
Three kickers. That's like my fantasy team.
Well, Justin Rohauser is 100% done. Like, they're going to cut him. He did not get rid of Justin Rohauser because I think he didn't want to get rid of a fifth round kicker and be like, that was terrible. I'm going to wait till next year to do that. He's done. I think Rohauser knows he's
done. Hope it goes by unnoticed.
And I think that Roberto Aguayo, you bring him in just for a little bit because I think you have a little kicking competition next year between him and Nick Folk. And then you just kind of see who works it out. Because I think Nick Folk definitely deserves another shot. Yeah. I think you should be looking at Nick Folk as a 1 year to 2 year type of guy. Like, I don't think
he's turned some heads this year. I think we talked about this year. He's been consistent the last half.
It's crazy to think that he's the same age as Gostkowski. I made a post about it and I said, Bill deserves some credit because he moved on from Gostkowski because he thought his injury would plague him and that was it. And he thought he might not recover. They had to bring in an emergency kicker. They played around with a couple of them, but Folk came in. And Folk this season, at least, has won them games. Like, he's kept them in games and won them games. He literally has done his job. He hasn't really screwed up anything. So at his age, kickers can last a long time. Adam Vinatieri was doing it for that long in his mid-40s. So Folk at least knows that he's in a good spot to get signed. You're pleasing Bill Belichick, especially when it comes to special teams. And I think Folk has deserved another shot. I don't think they're going to commit to him right away. I think they want to bring a Roberto Aguayo in just to be like, he's already looking at his kicking competition next year, but I think Folk will win it. And I think you sign Folk for 2 years and you say, hey, you're sticking with us. Right. Or he might be looking at like, oh, maybe another team might pick him up. Nothing's guaranteed.
Yeah.
The Arizona could come in and be like, we want Nick Folk to come here. We'll sign you for money. Okay, cool. I'll just stick with Roberto Aguayo. We're going to go with this guy. So, it's just Belichick playing with things. But
yeah, just to close up Patriots talk, I just want to show you. I'm pulling up my telephone right now.
Oh, it's off.
Cam Newton is not on the back of my phone right now. So, Cam Newton, I hope I don't know what the future holds for him. I hope he can secure his bag, take it to the bank. But
well, we learned some stuff too, I think, that gives us personally at Boston's Big Three. Right. We did a trial run this year for certain things, and I think that we can spend the off season now a little bit better to get ourselves learning, together and push merch. Yeah, we're learning a lot and pushing merch and things like that. We want to show support to those out there. I mean, just because we promote a Scam Newton shirt, like, it is what it is.
You gotta play both.
That was not you, but it's just, you gotta, you're putting stuff out there, and then you have hope and whatever.
Right. Speaking of the bank, Jason Tatum, game winner over Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Celtics season has gone off to a rocky-ish start. There's been a bright spot, but I don't think we've been here to talk about the Celtics preseason at all. We had a predictions earlier, but I don't think we were actually here to talk about their two preseason games. They played the Philadelphia 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets, lost both those games. The next two regular season games to start the year, beat Milwaukee, like we just talked about, the game-winning three over Giannis, and then got absolutely destroyed in the third quarter by the Brooklyn Nets again, but this time on Christmas Day, in front of a national TV audience that was probably half asleep, if not already fully asleep, because of the terrible slate of NBA games. I'm sure Tyler would rail the NBA right now, because I think all those games combined, the total differential was probably a combined like 120 points, something like that. It was just blowouts. Not a single game was close all day.
I think all the favorites, did all the favorites win? The Clippers
won.
They
did. No, yeah. The Lakers were probably favored that game, I would guess.
No, yeah, the Lakers were favored. They were favored 6.5. They blew it out. I think the Clippers played the Nuggets late in the late night game.
Yeah.
Or Kawhi got his like jaw knocked off. But
I saw that was crazy.
I mean, you started with the it was the Pelicans were the first game. I forget who they played. I did a parlay, Christmas Day parlay. I took the Pelicans. I lost right away. I mean, they looked pretty good to start the game. They just got blown out of hand. I mean, for the Christmas game. For the Celtics, since it's fresh on my mind, they were up at 3 at half. Like it was a good back and forth game. That third quarter, towards the end of the third quarter, there was just, again, basketball is about hot and cold. And if you get on a good decent run, sometimes it's too hard to get back into that game.
And the third quarter is where those great teams you've seen, like in the Warriors for the last 5 years, five of the last 6 years, but. The third quarter is where those halftime adjustments, you see them immediately. Yeah. You immediately play out, and they end up scoring 40 points on you.
Yeah, well, for the Celtics take, it was they were putting up shots, but they just weren't going in. Like, there was a lot of, like, balls that were going in and out of that rim. It was just a lot of, like, you're getting down low into the paint, you put it up, and you just miss it. Like, it just and then the Nets would capitalize on the very next play, score, score, score. All of a sudden, it's an 8-point swing. 8-point swing turns to a 12-point swing, and now you're down double digits. And then in basketball, it just goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Maybe the Nets go on a quick 6-0 run. Now you're chasing 18. It just, once it's too much to come back from. And that's what it felt like. They lost in the third. Once it was, the third was done.
They were down by 20 by the time the third quarter.
I mean, when you look at the Nets and Bucks games, if you're looking at the beginning of the schedule, like Felger Maz did it, they split the games. That's fine. Yeah. Did you think they were going to go 2-0 to start the season?
We talked about it. 1-1. We said 1-1.
Yeah. You can split those games each way.
They're going to go on a run and win like 5 of the next 7, though. I don't know if that's possible right now, but it is interesting. You see the bright spots from the preseason. We haven't got to talk about it. Seeing the additions the Celtics made that look very good to start. Jeff Teague didn't have a great game against the Nets. I don't think he scored, but he had 19 the day before. So, not the day before, game before, but the additions of Jeff T, Tristan Thompson, even Peyton Pritchard, these guys look like they're going to fill their roles very nicely for the Boston Celtics. I think I don't think anyone out there is arguing that Brad Wanamaker was a better sixth man coming off the bench than Jeff T has been so far for the Celtics. The Celtics have been leading that. Yeah,
this is a team definitely that will they'll find their groove. They'll eventually find their groove going forward. I mean, it's going to take them. This is still preseason in a way. It's still going to take time. And this is a year where Tatum really needs to step up and be a leader. More importantly, Kemba Walker, whenever he comes back, whenever he's ready, you have to play. Like, you now it's going to fall on you to actually show up and just literally do your job. Whether it's a role playing position, let Tatum do his thing, but you gotta be.
Every time I get a chance to talk about Kemba Walker, I gotta do it. That's my guy. Boston Celtics, yeah. Utah Husky. So the thing about Kemba Walker that I think Celtics fans that didn't really know a lot about him that made them all love him immediately was the fact that when he joined the team, he wasn't like the Kyrie Irving type to come in and say,
yeah,
my team, I just want to be a leader. I'm going to lead these guys. I'm going to do the best of my ability. He's the guy that came and said, I know whose team this is. This is not my team. I see these two young guys. It is my job to help them get to where they're supposed to be, help them become those superstar players that he knows they're capable of and that we are watching them grow before our eyes. Like, I remember just like a few feels like months ago watching a high top cut Jaylen Brown coming into the league, coming off the bench and getting 6 or 7 points off the bench every night. And seeing what he's doing now, scoring 30 a game already for the Celtics, it's fun to watch the growth and development of those guys. And we hope we can see that again with the new guys coming in, like Peyton Pritchard, who looks like white Rajon Rondo out there right now. And then Aaron Nesmith, who's been a pretty big bucket coming in. Apparently he's a sharp shooter. I have definitely seen that so far. So this Celtics team is a lot of fun to watch. I think it's going to be a fun ride. Again, we've talked about it before. We don't know if they have enough. We Celtics fans are delusional and have wanted us to get to the finals. I mean, we've been right at the doorstep the last 3 of the last 4 years. You got to expect they'll get through eventually. So there's two topics I want to talk about with Celtics basketball. Previously on the show, you said the Celtics should tank this year. Do you still stand by that?
I stand by it in the sense that they should, if they have something. You can see in the first two games they have something. I just say, I just want them to get a high draft pick. That's all. That's the way I look at it. I want them to make noise. They are still, they're not the complete team yet. And you say that, right? Right.
Well, that's the same thing with that weight team. They had Ray Allen. They had Paul Pierce, but they weren't a complete team yet. They needed that big ticket.
This year is good for for Jaylen Brown. It's good for Tatum. They got these guys locked up. That's the thing. They got these guys locked up. I look at Kemba Walker, like you said, he comes in, he's not the star player. You're paying him this money, so he's got to show up in the certain games. He's got to show up that better. Let Kemba sit all year.
Yeah.
Let him sit. Let him relax. Like, what's the point of relax? Because he's going to be back next year. So that's what I'm saying about tanking in that case. Like, hey, win the first half of the games, then take your foot off the gas pedal the second half. That's okay. That's not a problem. Tatum and Brown, we want to see you progress this year in certain areas, maybe certain goals. Do we want you to win the MVP this year, Tatum? You know, it'd be cool, but no, we don't need that. We don't need that. That's the way of the tanking I'm talking about. I mean, if the team gets hot, the team gets hot. You got to roll. You got to win games. You're here to play and win games. Right. Absolutely. But I think at a certain point in the season, depending on what their record is, that's probably when you're going to start looking at things. Like, you got to start looking at things differently.
Right.
I still don't think the season's going to fully happen.
Are you making all these fucking pictures and stuff. Are you in a mindset where, like, since my heart's been broken for a lot, it's been broken a lot the last few years watching the Celtics. Are you in a mind state where you don't want to get too attached to this team and just get your heart ripped away from you at the very end of the season again?
I think this might be – so I'm when it comes to Celtics, I love the Celtics. Like, they're my second team, right? So in Boston. So – and I'm casual. I'm not the diehard like you guys are, but I pay attention, right? I think this team, just watching those first two games, they're going to be very likable, the most likable team that you in the last 5 years. Like, I think they're going to be very, very likable. I think like you just said, they're going to attach to a lot of people. I think there's going to be a lot of grit. I think there's going to be a lot of grind. And I just think that because of the contract that Tatum just got, you know that you got some security now as a fan. You know that you got some security with this guy. You can start watching him a little bit differently. You can start watching at the other places here. Like you said, Pritchard. Like, it's funny.
Why Rondo?
Talk about racism. I got Michelle's dad. Watch
the way he plays. I'm saying the way this man plays.
Wait a minute.
The way he scores, the way he slashed, the way he passed, that's why Rondo.
But Michelle's dad, who is in his 60s, leans to me the other day on Christmas and goes, Scott's going to become a fan favorite because he's white. A lot of people are going to like him because he's white. He's good. He's good. He's going to be a white good. He's going to be a good player because he's white. I was like, that's Boston for you right there.
It's just like the Patriots every year. You're talking about Gunners.
Yeah, you talked about these white guys, Welker, Gunna, Edelman. So I look at this Boston Celtics team, and I think that they can go on a run. You'll get attached to them. I just don't think there's enough to win a championship yet. I mean, it's only two games in the season. Anything's possible.
There's nowhere to go, but you could go anywhere. But there's still a lot left to play out. We've got 70 games left. We don't even know what the second half of the schedule looks like yet. So
yeah,
you're talking about the fact that you need to add another piece. I've got one question for you. James Harden?
No. See,
thank you. We can agree on something.
So I am all. I mean. Would I hate it? No, I would love James Harden.
I wouldn't like it.
I want James Harden. I think that's cool. But that means you have to give up Jaylen Brown. Like, you're going to have to break up that duo, and I do not want to break up that duo.
Right.
I've said you can't do that. And I have been big on, I think Tatum's going to leave this and that. And when he signed that deal, I was kind of shocked. I was like, wow, like, he actually signed that. And I think it was a lot for financial security, too, to make sure you secure that now, especially I think the Celtics got very lucky with that. So I look at Jaylen Brown and Tatum. You need to keep those players together. They're peanut butter and jelly. Like, you got to keep that duo together. If you want to trade for James Harden, that means you got to get rid of the whole other team, like whoever else you want to get rid of. But I don't think that he will be the answer. I mean, it's just you did it with Kyrie. I
completely agree.
It's a Kyrie situation now.
Exactly.
If Tatum was not signed to his contract and you had no idea what his future was, and you started getting a feeling that you want to break up the Brown thing and whatever you want to do, sure. I'm done with the Harden thing. I know them, even the media, like, none of them want him. They want him just because they want to talk bad about James Harden.
Right. But
I think it's just a headache. I was for it before the season because it's a fantasy thing. But then once you see the first couple games, you're like, I'm all set. We don't need to do it. And especially where James Harden starts the season with COVID and screws over the Houston locker room. And you find out
he went to
the strip club and wasn't wearing a mask and this and that. And that's why I'm saying I don't see how the season's going to last. Like, I just – these players, no offense, but it's just these players will go out and do their own thing, go have fun. We're all human beings. They'll go to strip clubs. They'll go to parties. It's going to happen. And I think that because of the size of these locker rooms and teams, you're not able to cover it up like you can in the NFL and the MLB. And the NBA is such a players-driven league that if a couple players are like, nah, fuck this, we don't want to do it, they're not going to do it anymore. Right. So that's why they only released the first half of a schedule for the season, because they don't even know what they're going to be able to do. So that's why I'm saying you be weary, you be cautious and everything like that.
Get your heart broken.
I want to throw this over to you. Are the Golden State Warriors already done? Because they got obliterated. I think it's the cornrows on Steph Curry. I don't like that look.
That's fine. He is an aging star, though. People forget Steph Curry's been in the league since like 2009.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time. I actually remember when I was in college back in 2010.
Yeah,
Davidson run. I had NBA 2K10 on my Xbox 360, and I made a character, my own personal character, and I was drafted to the Golden State Warriors. And I remember playing with Steph Curry. And I don't know when Klay Thompson was drafted. Was he drafted? So that, maybe I played 2K12. Maybe that's what I played. I think it was 2K12 and 2K13 because I know Clay was on my team. Okay. So my point of my story is I started the Warriors Dynasty before they started the Warriors Dynasty. And if I had that game on my Xbox, I bet I can find it.
So it's the reason they got those championships then.
My name was Quincy, because you got to make a player's name. It was Quincy something. Now it's gonna bother me because it's like an announcer says it over there. Anyways,
gotta represent South.
So I just wanted to say Steph Curry has been with the Warriors for a long time. He's an aging star, and Curry's made his money. Curry's had his championships. He's done his MVPs. He's done it all. So
if you want to compare teams, look at that 2019 Patriots and the 2020 Golden State Warriors, say Tom Brady, Steph Curry leading the way, you got scrubs all around. Like your guy goes down, Julian Edelman goes down, Klay Thompson goes down. A lot of parallels. Though. You bring in a lot of scrubs to fill the gas, but they're not the same.
And what are those players going to – I mean, you lose Kevin Durant. You brought Kevin Durant in. See you later. And you bring – you know, is Klay, where's Klay Thompson going to go? Is he going to be the same? Like, is Draymond Green the same? Like, it's just that, – that team could be broken up pretty soon. Do you give any credit –
I totally see that.
I just – I bet on them, and I was like, holy shit, they suck. Like, I didn't know they suck again.
Yeah.
But that also shows to me, like, they did that height of a dynasty, and they – that's cool when you win all that, they're going to lose their fan base pretty quick.
Yeah. The fall from glory is dramatic.
We live in such a weird fan world where it's very few and far in between. Like they say, the Dallas Cowboys, where fans still stick with the team or even through their shitty seasons.
or 40 of them in the Cowboys.
Yeah. Case. I mean, like when you look at the Red Sox, like they always had a dedicated fan base. They always did. And you look at the Boston Celtics, like they still had fans. You still have that fan base that shows that, there's always going to be casuals. There's always going to be people that jump on. With the Patriots, it would be interesting next year if they have another bad season to see who jumps off. But I think football really, the people still want to go to football games. Totally. They still enjoy the league. They want to watch other players. You look at Golden State. I mean, they just built a new arena. I think like in
Their crowd's in Oakland and they're in San Francisco now.
And Curry's an aging star, as you said. His time is ticking a little bit. I mean, that's somebody that – and he's someone that doesn't need to play basketball anymore. He has nothing else to really play for. Like, he really doesn't. Unlike LeBron, like, he's still got shit.
He's got some records he's chasing. He's still got a pass for Allen.
And he's – and Curry. Yeah, but I just look at that as, like, the fan base, like, their dynasty comes and goes and people forget and people move on. It's just funny how it works. We live through it and you got – everyone got sick of it. But it's just funny how it comes and goes. I want to ask you this. Steve Nash, do you give him any credit for the Brooklyn Nets? Like,
I know. Yeah, that's one of those things that frustrated me. One of Kyrie's dozens, hundreds of just awful media comments. Just the one from this offseason where he said, after they hired Steve Nash, like, and Kyrie, like, quote said, like, I don't see us as having a head coach. Like, I'm the coach. KD's the coach. Like, that. What are you doing, guy? You just hired Steve Nash as the coach. Steve Nash deserves all the credit in the world for getting these two superstars and having the rest of the team work well with them. Like, that team looks ready to go on a championship run tomorrow if they need it.
They do. After watching that game, I'm like, that you and it was great. I think the announcers were even kind of saying it to them, like, you know, both of them have something to really prove. And they both are NBA champions. So it's like, but they both kind of did it without doing it themselves.
Right.
And
they had a lot of help in the process.
They had a lot of help. And I think, and even though you can say they're helping each other, I mean, they have a lot to prove, whether it's Kevin Durant's injuries and coming in and being a snake, whether it's Kyrie Irving always being in the shadows of LeBron and he couldn't handle it on his own. And they both took the time off. I mean, they look hungry and it would not shock me if you see a Brooklyn Nets versus Los Angeles Lakers NBA championship this year. And as a Boston fan, so it's like, in terms of when it comes down to Celtics, right, and fandom, Brooklyn's weird because they're still a newer team. Like, I mean, in terms of, like, the location, I have some fond memories of Brooklyn because I went to SummerSlam there and stuff like that. I've been to Nets games and shit. So I also like Brooklyn for some reason. I don't know. I just like that area. I like that area a lot. I just think it would be good for the NBA to have a thriving New York team there. They need that. Like, the NBA needs, like, I'll support shit like that. Like, I support Trevor Lawrence to the New York Jets because I want to see New York. I want to see the conference get better. I want to lose to them because I want to be pissed off because I want to beat them. Like, that's what you want to do.
You can have that view, but as long as New York sucks at everything, I am
totally
on board. You don't have to say, like, say less.
I don't mind if they go there and they lose the finals. I mean, they have a respectable, legitimate team right there.
Right. The problem run into there is the Brooklyn Nets and Celtics. You remember the fateful trade. You remember the Jason Terry, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce trade back in the day. That's Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. But Celtics haven't won anything since.
I know. So it's one of those things that if Brooklyn goes further, though, right. It's a good case that you can go to Danny Ainge and be like, the hell happened?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what happened? We made, like, you made this trade with the hopes of winning a title this year, next year, whatever it may be. Like, you wanted, like, that was supposed to decimate the Nets. It did decimate them. But somehow they're back. I don't know the story. I don't know the trades, the moves they've made, GM, front office, whatever. Like, they're making the right moves, and it's a good look.
Like with Tabak, I don't want Philly to go to the championship. No. Like that's a city I don't want to succeed.
Yeah.
Although I picked them to do very well this year.
Pick them to be the one seed. That's a little better than very well.
I'm a believer in Doc Rivers as a coach, and I think this is a good fresh start for him. I have no bad blood or no hate for Doc Rivers. I think
you and me both.
Yeah, I'll support him in that sense that I hope he does well himself individually. I'm not rooting for the Sixers. I just think that they can put something together, and this is gonna have to be the year they do it too. That's another team that you've been kind of, you know, fumbling around a little bit. Like, when are you guys gonna make the push? When are you guys gonna make the move? I mean, they're due for Eastern Conference Finals. They're due for
since Kawhi hit the shot.
Yeah, I mean they're due. Like they're due to get to the finals themselves as a team, as an organization, they're due. So as the Celtics, it's like you've been there. Oh shit, Brooklyn just did this. The Sixers are they're making a couple moves. Milwaukee is still there. The Miami Heat are coming off a finals appearance, so they can be their contender. You never know, one of these teams that end up just coming up and doing something, like Indiana could just go on a run.
They'll probably be there. They always find their way in.
So these teams could always make a trade or something like that at the trade deadline. There's a lot of question marks, but Brooklyn looks really good. Like, again, it's a long season. We'll see what happens.
But hey, at least we got sports back. Just to wrap up.
I know.
We're gonna mention all four sports here, just rapid fire. Alex Cora is still the manager of the Boston Red Sox. The Boston Bruins got a schedule that looks like a baseball schedule because they're playing like series, and the way they're doing travel, because they don't trust their players the way the NBA trusts James Harden. So they're staying in like the same city doing series. It's interesting. It's worth a look. I think they're doing a 50-game season.
56 games, and I can't 56. Believe they're still sticking with Tuukka Rask. I can't believe after what he did.
Anti-Tuukka over here, right?
Yeah, I still like him, but he proved me wrong. Up and really you gotta be a good goalie this year.
Who do you trust more, Cam Newton or Tuukka Rask?
I like that, actually. I actually like that. Who do you trust more right now? Who's more likable? I think
that's tough.
It's a tough one. Who do you trust? Who do you trust in a big game moment? Tuukka Rask or Cam Newton? Seriously, neither of them won anything really.
Yeah,
I'd say
they've all gotten right to the top, but fallen like a few minutes short. Like Cam Newton, Super Bowl.
Both of them giving up on their teams. Yeah, like, they just like that.
Tuukka Rask,
like,
Game 7.
It just sucks because I think if Tuukka played in the bubble, they would have won something.
He's kind of left.
Year.
Yeah.
He left them high and dry. I think they would have won him. I'd stick Tuukka. I'd take Tuukka.
Okay. That's my one Bruins take. I've never liked the fact that they call it the perfection line, because I feel like that puts it up with like a level you think like Golden State Warriors again, like the Hampton Five. Like, you expect them to be so perfect. They're called the perfection line. They're Pastrnak, Marchand, and Bergeron. You expect them to never lose again, but That's the way hockey goes. So just to wrap up here, you got any final thoughts?
Ooh. Wow. Final thoughts. Santa came to the Babikin household. My final thought is we had a very Merry Christmas here at the Babikin household. It was nice doing it with the girls, spending time with them. I got my dad dressed up as Santa Claus. It's great because, especially when you have your parents out there, me being a new parent now this year, it's crazy because of, you know, all the extra things that go with it as being a dad and getting things ready. But, you know, just know that your parents out there, I'm sure some families out there, they try to do a lot for you. They can do a lot for you. So this year, having my parents be grandparents, I made a huge deal that I wanted my dad to dress up in a Santa costume. So I had my Santa costume that when me and Corey went to the game a couple of years ago, but I think I threw it out when I moved from Everett to Bridgewater. And I freaked out the day on Christmas Eve. I was like freaking out. Like, oh, I thought I had it. Like, where did I put it? And my brother, luckily, had a Santa costume like he had it 10 years ago. And he's been sitting there. And it was all clean and everything. And he goes, I got it. Don't worry. And we got him all dressed up. So it was just my mom actually texted me today and was like, that was the best Christmas we've had in a long time. And a lot of people don't know, like, in terms of Christmas, like, I work like every holiday, like 9 out of the last 10 years, I've worked every freaking Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it was really special. It was a special time to do that. Cause every year, man, like, I know what it's like to like work. And I also know what it's like to be a little lonely on Christmas. Like, you go on your social media, you see everyone celebrating, getting all these awesome gifts and this and that. So, I've been through that side too. So, and if you feel that way too, never feel afraid to like, just reach out and we can always talk and stuff. So like, we're always open about that. So
community, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah. You know, and, I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas. I am a Merry Christmas guy. I am not a Happy Holidays guy.
As am I.
Listen, so when it comes to happy, listen, when I'm at work, people say happy. I say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Because we're right here. We're at Christmas right. time.
I'll say Happy Holidays. It was Christmas yesterday and people said Happy Holidays. Like, we know what.
I'll say Happy Holidays to you if it's November before Thanksgiving.
Right.
And I mean, I'll say Happy Thanksgiving, but I'll say Happy Holidays if I know that you're going to be away and I'm not seeing you for the next month and a half to 2 months. Like that. Cause then you're just,
it's just all in one.
We're all in one.
But exactly.
Thanksgiving week, have a happy Thanksgiving. It's the Christmas week. Have a Merry Christmas. Right. Like you don't say Merry Christmas on December 12th. Like you wait till the week of, like
as soon as December hits.
No, I'll say Happy Holidays only because some people might celebrate Kwanzaa. Some people celebrate Hanukkah. So I'll give it that. I think once those pass though, once it's Christmas, like 5 days of Christmas, it's Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I did Instagram live. I was like, you have to say Merry Christmas. All right. It's Brendan. They might cancel Christmas one day. They might say,
never know.
You can't say Merry Christmas.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's how our jobs are. I mean, even when I worked at Market Basket, like this was 10 years ago, they said, we got a note saying you have to say Happy Holidays because you have to please everybody. Gosh. You can't say Merry Christmas because people don't celebrate Merry. We should celebrate Christmas.
To try to cancel Happy Holidays instead of Christmas.
I know we should. I think Happy Holidays is just you're lumping everybody together. You're lumping everything at once.
It's too much assuming. But final thought is it was a Merry Christmas. It was a good time. See family. I hope everyone stayed safe out there. Is in quarantine now if you traveled near and far, but. Yeah, Merry Christmas from all of us here at Boston's Big Three. We hope you guys had a joyful holiday season and that this new year treats you well is coming up. So I think we got a few things up our sleeves to wrap up the year, wrap up 2020, kick it to the curb, like we said. But it's been fun. Thanks for rocking with us for 85 episodes now. 85.
Get 100. Hit 100 soon.
100's going to come up likely like spring break, March, February.
Yeah. Hopefully, if we start banging it out a little bit more.
It's coming up. So keep riding the wave, rocking with us, and we'll see you on the next one.